Mentioned today is our community fair Sunday. With that, we'll tell you a little bit about what that means. We're going to end our service a little early to have time to kind of check out what we have going on in terms of ways to connect with other people as a part of BLV. And so this is kind of going to be the focus of a lot of the things we're doing today. We're going to get the opportunity to meet some cool people that are involved in facilitating community here. You know, but I think about kind of where we sit, where we are right now. And we talk about this, you know, fairly often here at BLV, which is, I do think that we live in a unique time and place in history. I think in pretty much every other culture, and in history, but really honestly around the world today, the idea of community, like who do you do life with, is kind of integrated in daily life. Most of the world historically has been collectivist cultures, where doing life with other people is kind of intrinsic to society, where your family, your work, all of those things are connected in to your sense of relationship. Whereas I don't think that that's the case with us here in Chicago, here in America, here we are today. Even though we're around millions of people, it can actually be incredibly hard to find connection and community, I think particularly for adults. You know, we live in a culture that very, I think, intentionally separates out work and relationships a lot. There's a sense of, like, where you spend most of your time at work is not actually the place you're supposed to have most of your relationships. It's just the way we're formatted as a society. I mean, the idea that, like, any very few jobs can you have assurance that you will be able to keep that job. Very few places are set up to be built around that sense of community. You know, we also have things like gyms and, you know, recreation groups. And I think these are awesome. It's kind of a thing I look at our society. There is lots of ways to connect with other people in those fashions, like join CrossFit. But I have found that those things are great, but they can sometimes feel different than actually sharing life with each other. It's kind of a shared activity. It's a time to have fun together and time to connect. But that's very different than having a space to be able to struggle, a place to be able to hear encouragement and where I'm having a hard time. And those that I know who are adults that do have relationships that they can rely on, like they do have people in their life that feel like a support, they're usually relationships that were made when they were much younger. You know, it's like when they were maybe in school that had kind of a more of a structure around that, a childhood friend or a college roommate. And so once you've kind of broken out of that system, there feels like there's not a lot of tracks laid down. Like, how do I actually connect and feel life in an intimate way with those around me? And I just say this all because I just acknowledge, for me, the older and older I get, that connection just feels harder and harder. It feels like developing real, deep, and lasting relationship feels a little further out of my grasp. And I think what's true is that most adults I know go through seasons of loneliness, seasons of feeling isolated. And I think because we live in those places so frequently, we look around each other. I don't know exactly if it's the way that we see like the best version of other people's lives online, or if it's just the tendency to think people's lives seem easier than ours. I so often see people go through stages of loneliness and look around and says, it seems like everyone else seems to be able to connect. It seems like those people seem so able to have the relationships I wish I had. Like maybe it's unique to me, like maybe I'm just bad at this. Or maybe like people just don't get me. And it's interesting to notice that everybody I talk to goes through seasons of life where that's true. And so those mythical people that seem to have no problem with relationships, those mythical people that seem to always feel connected, I'm just not sure they exist in the way that we think everybody else does. Or maybe I should say, those of us that struggle to find connection, those of us that feel lonely, are maybe not as unique as we think we are. I think actually Jesus is a little bit of an interesting case study when you look at this. In terms of not being able to relate to him, in terms of unique existence, I'm pretty sure Jesus has lived one of the most unique existences ever. I mean, who in his world at that point could honestly relate to how he experienced the world? And yet, throughout his life, he surrounded himself with people to share himself with, people to share in what was happening. You know, I look at the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapters 10, verses 24 and 25, and I like how it kind of talks about this human experience. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." The reason I like this is because I think it kind of touches on, I think, a human experience, something that we're all kind of tempted to do. That left to our own devices, we might be prone to give up meeting together. We may be prone to think, I can do this on my own. The amount of effort it takes to make this relationship stuff work feels beyond what it's worth. But in meeting together, we find encouragement, we find connection, we find ourselves spurred on towards something else. And the reason I like this is because it doesn't paint a picture of that being easy. It doesn't paint a picture of that person that seems to just have all the friends, be super connected, never feel lonely. It paints a picture of this being challenging, that we might be prone to give up on it. And I think part of the reason I do resonate with that so much, the part of the reason I resonate with what that's saying, is that it resonates with my own experience. You know, something I've talked about here in the past is in my 20s, for a lot of reasons, feeling really fed up with church. Feeling like I was pretty high on Jesus still. I liked Jesus, but it seemed like church and what I experienced in Jesus were so far apart. And so I got to a place where I wasn't totally sure what I believed. I wasn't totally sure what I thought, but I was sure at that point that I didn't want to have anything to do with church anymore. So I stopped going for years. And in that season of not going, my wife and I moved across the world to go teach English in Korea. And while we were there, we were like noticing, hey, we would like to connect. We don't have old friends here. We don't have people that are already built into our life to be able to connect with. And so it really was the experience of trying to build relationships from scrap. And so at Michelle's prompting mostly, she said, I would love to go find a church. This seems like a way for us to connect with other people. And so mostly at her efforts, I said, sure, we'll go for it. And so we did. We went and we found a church there that was made up of mostly international English teachers. So people from all over the world teaching English in Korea. And the thing that I think is most distinctive about the church we found is that it was terrible. Like, in almost every way you can evaluate a church, in my estimation, it was terrible. Like, I didn't like the music. I didn't like the flow of the services. I didn't like what was said. I didn't agree with what the pastor was saying. Not only did I not agree with it, sometimes I was offended by it. And then I looked around, and it just felt like there were so many things about it that on its surface would say, this is a terrible church for me. However, they did have a very active group of young adults, of these international teachers. And they made a lot of efforts to do a lot of things together. There was a lot of kind of just social connection. Like, the point of this is we're all going to get together and we're going to go check out this place in Seoul. We're all going to get together. And the week that we got there, they were actually taking a retreat to the country the following weekend. And they were saying, hey, come sign up for this retreat. There's a table set up right there for us to sign up. And Michelle and I were like, you know what? Like, let's just do it. Like, I do want to find connection. So we signed up for it right away, and the next weekend we went right on to that retreat. And the actual retreat content was mediocre at best. Like, what was talked about, the things that happened were really just not that great. However, the connecting with other human beings part of it was excellent. It was awesome. There was a ton of people that were open and looking to just develop relationship. And it was honestly, the time we were there, one of the most positive faith communities I've been a part of, which is interesting because if you asked the pastors what they believed, if you asked the church their statements of faith, I would not agree with most of them. When I think about most sermons that I listened to, I just felt like they were immensely flawed and I disagreed with them. And yet it was such a positive experience to me because of the connection. And so as Michelle and I wrapped up our time in Korea and came home, I had a pretty significant shift in my brain at that point. I was still wrestling a lot with what exactly did I believe, what did I exactly think about faith, but there was one conclusion that had shown itself to be true, is that what felt most important was not doing life alone. You know, it wasn't most important that I went to somewhere where I agreed with everything they said. It wasn't most important that I felt like I enjoyed the production that was happening. What felt important is that I felt less alone in life. I felt like I could connect with other people. And so I did. So when Michelle and I came back, we decided we were going to keep on connecting with churches. And our question was not, what church do we think speaks to us the most? Our question was, what church do we feel like we can actually connect with other people and allow us to be ourselves in connecting with them? And so this has changed my mindset. It did change my mindset. And so whenever we have friends that leave BLV because they move somewhere, or somebody that I have a friend in a different area that's saying, hey, I'm looking for somewhere to connect, the thing I always ask them is not, hey, this church I think is going to really speak the ways that you want to speak. It's going to agree with you in all these ways. It is there a place that you feel like you can honestly bring yourself and who you are and what you think and how you might disagree with them, and in that, still connect with other people? And I think the reason why this is true is something I think of is true in my life, which is when I think about when God has most led, spoken, healed, met me, it has been not through sermons, not through reading the Bible, not through any other sort of religious ritual. It has been through other people. It has been God working through the person next to me as I talk through the things I'm struggling with. It has been the person next to me that talks about how their experience of life differs from mine and in turn opens up my perspective of who God is. And I think it is because, as Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. That God exists in relationship. That we experience the very presence of who he is, not in the words of the things I say in front of you, not even in the music, not in the rituals, but in each other. And I think this speaks to the core of God's heart for us, is to feel less alone, to feel more connected. I think one of the distinctly powerful things I see about the God of the Bible is his desire for us to not be alone. It is not some distant God that has laid down the commands for our life, laid down the order of how we should behave, and then has stepped back, but one who has drawn close to us and actually designed life to work best in proximity of others. And so today, we have our we do this twice a year, and this is one of the two. We do our community fair. We showcase all of the different ways people can connect here at BLV. We have various social groups, various interest groups, various volunteer opportunities. But our goal is, whether it is coming here and helping us set up here on Sunday, or it's being part of our weeknight groups, or part of an online conversation, that in some way, that through this, we can feel a little bit more connected to God through feeling a little more connected to each other. And so what I'll do in a moment here is I'm actually wanting to invite up everybody that we've already talked to that is going to help us know and understand a little bit more about what groups we're connecting with. And then after that, I'm going to pray. And what I would love to pray for is help thinking through what is the right way for me to connect this winter. And is there something that this church is offering that helps me connect? Or maybe it's another. I think the truth is we all are in different seasons in life. We all have different things going on. Like, I don't think that there is a one-size-fit-all for what connection looks like. But I think it's important to ask the question of, like, what do I have space for? What do I feel like God is leading me towards this season? And so when I make a commitment to it, it's the actual right commitment for my life. And the kind of commitment that I say, I'm going to prioritize this in a way that doesn't come down to every week, how do I feel about it? But, like, this is something that I'm committing to because it's important to me. And so what I'd love to do is all the folks that are connected to groups, I'm going to invite up a bunch of them, and then I'm going to just ask them some questions so they can tell us about what's going on in the community. So I'm going to invite up Kevin Williams, invite up Zoe and Nate and Rob and Natalie, if you guys just all want to come up. Kezia and Barbie and Vince, you guys all want to come up here. I'm going to interview them, and they're going to tell us a little bit about the groups that they're connected with. So we're going to do this little interview style, and they're just going to tell us so you can get a little feel. If you're thinking, how do I want to connect this winter, that these folks can help us think through that together. All right, so Kevin, can we give Kevin a round of applause? Thank you so much, Kevin. So Kevin is leading our Bible for Normal People group. I'm going to pull this out. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. So Kevin, can you tell us where and when does your group meet?
We meet on a monthly basis, once a month, and we've been meeting at Vince and Kezia's house. We haven't determined an exact meeting night yet for this year. We'd like to do that in concert with all of those who want to join our group. So those of you who are interested in joining the group, once I get a list of those names, I'll send out an invite, and I'll have some suggestions on when we can start meeting, and then we'll determine a meeting date from there.
Awesome. So Bible for Normal People, this is Welcome to Non-Normal People as well. So I like a weird person like me. But no, just tell me a little bit about this group. What's unique about it? What do you guys do?
Okay. I think for me, I've always had an increasing interest in the Bible and what it said to me about issues that are important to me and what's going on in the world today. And I was attracted to the group for that reason, because the more that I delved into the Bible, the more I realized how little I knew. And so this podcast group is an opportunity for us to talk about what the Bible actually says about topics that are going on in the world today, a whole range of topics from human relations to a lot of other issues. And so those of you who are really interested in understanding exactly what the Bible says, how it addresses a lot of topics today, I think you'd really be fascinated with this group.
So you said podcast. What do you mean? Tell me a little bit about the context of you listen to a podcast, or how does that work?
Yeah. This podcast is arranged by a couple of Bible scholars, and they invite on other guests, academics who study the Bible, and they interview them about various issues occurring today, whether it's feminism, and what does the Bible say about feminism, or what the Bible says about race relations. And so they interview these experts on it, and they conduct like 50-minute interviews for the podcast. And so what you do is you listen to that interview, and then you come to our podcast group to talk about your insights. What were your takeaways from those discussions? And the best thing is that each of us is invited to sort of put our own personal insights, our journey in terms of how we've grown up studying and learning the Bible, and it makes for a really interesting, rich, and fun discussion group.
Awesome. So Bible for Normal People, listen to a podcast on your own, come into the group and discuss it with a bunch of other cool people. Can you give me one takeaway in terms of like a snippet of one of your favorite conversations that came out of the group, if you can think of one?
We had a very entertaining discussion not that long ago on what the Bible says about homosexuality, okay, and exactly how that's addressed in the Bible, and how perhaps we should be looking at it as individuals and even as members of a church. And the thing that I found most interesting was that everyone brought such a unique perspective to the discussion on their own. And it's a discussion that, you know, our group is scheduled to last for about 90 minutes, and we could have continued that discussion for another 90 minutes if we wanted to.
Thank you, Kevin. I think what's true, what he touches on with this group is going to be true of all of our groups, is that our groups have people coming from really different backgrounds and experiences. And so a conversation like this that talks about the Bible, which is different from some of my own experiences, is it isn't a lot of people coming into the same room looking for the right answer. It's people coming from all sorts of different experiences and bringing that together to learn from each other. And so thank you so much, Kevin. If you were interested in that, Kevin will be at a table in the back at the end to answer some more questions. Let's give Kevin a round of applause. Awesome. All right, if Zoe and Nate and Rob and Natalie, can you guys come on over? Let's give them a round of applause. Awesome. If you just step on up to me, we'll get close in proximity. All right, can you tell me where and when of your group? Where are you guys meeting? How often? Where?
Hey guys. So we're gonna be. We're going to be alternating between Zoe and my apartment and Rob and Natalie's apartment, and that is starting on February 7th for 2 weeks. Zoe is going to...
Let's hear it for Zoe.
Hi, guys. He was taking a bullet for me there, public speaking, and this counts to me is odious, so... it'll be every other Thursday starting on February 7th at 7 p.m., and it'll alternate between our place, which is right next to the French school, for those of you who are in the area, it's over on Wilson and Walcott, and then Rob and Natalie's place, which is over on Lincoln and Column by the Bad Apple, if you're familiar with that. We'll be doing that. We won't alternate every other week between places, but it will be every other week at one of our places, so...
Thank you, guys. So, Rob and Natalie, can you tell us a little bit about, we did a version of this group over the last term. What do we do? What are you guys planning on doing? What is the premise of the group in itself?
So, we like to have fun through food and drink and fantastic conversation. And sometimes we have some structure to it where, you know, there's some particular questions we want to answer. Sometimes we talk a little bit about Jesus, and sometimes we don't. So, it's pretty loose, and it's pretty fun, and there's always a lot of fun things going on, and what was your question?
That's great.
That's pretty much it.
Well answered. This is our most social group, and the conversation is much more natural than what you've seen here. This is our group. If you are just wanting to have fun and hang out, this is the group for it. So will there be food, drinks? Is it a time of fasting? Natalie, can you just tell me what your plans are in terms of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we'll have food and drinks alcoholic drinks, just to be clear, and probably water.
and non-alcoholic drinks too.
Well, so. We don't have a lot of those in our house besides water, so. and then we'll have food, but whatever you want to bring is great, or not bring, or just show up. That's kind of how the group is. It's just kind of come and hang out.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So if you're interested in knowing about this group, every other Thursday night, it'll be meeting. And it's a great space just to come, hang out, get to know some other people, and hosted by these wonderful folks. Let's give them a round of applause. Kezia, would you mind coming on over? Let's give Kezia a round of applause. This is Kezia. We'll hear more from her soon in singing form. Not about smugglers. So tell me, what are you doing?
So Vince and I and a couple other people are interested in doing a book study on the book Raising White Kids in a Racially Unjust America. Back in October, we had the opportunity to go to a workshop led by the author of that book, Jennifer Harvey, and it was really insightful and helpful, but there was just so much more to explore on how we as parents of white children can raise our kids to be anti-racist and to be growing up to build a better future where America can be a place that is, who knows, that's going to be a long time. But we want to learn what we can do to contribute and how we can support each other in doing that. And I personally am really bad at reading nonfiction. Grad school ruined me. So accountability and doing it with other people really helps me, and I am very interested in this topic, and I want to be able to learn from other people and go on a journey with them. So we also don't have a date or time set yet. We want to set that around anybody who's interested. So I'll be at the table, and you can sign up, and then we'll figure out where to go from there. It'll probably be monthly. So.
Great. And so the idea is people will read books, read this book, come in, and talk. It's a book. Imagine the book in your hand, and it's there. And it exists. We didn't make it up. It's a real book, and we can prove it at not this moment. You're just going to have to trust us on this. And so Kezia will be out at the table. She'll be available to ask if you have any further questions. Please come and talk to her about that, and you can get on that list, and she'll follow up with you on what it will, and then she'll work with the people, her and Christine will work with people and figure out when the right time for that group to meet kind of around the folks that are in it. So thank you, Kezia. Let's give you Kezia a round of applause. Thank you, Kez. I'd love to invite over Barbara, if you want to come on over here, Barbie. This is Barbie. Hello, Barbie. Tell me, what are you here for? I'm just kidding. Thank you. So, Barbie, tell us about what groups you're here talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to be talking about women's groups. We want to really start connecting a lot more. And we don't have a set location or time. We're actually trying to do like various locations and times. We're very open to feedback. It can kind of take the shape and form that we want, that we need, that we're looking for. I think there's just a lot of women out here. I'm an extrovert. I wish I could like meet everyone and, you know, get together at different times and stuff. But I know that that also happens, you know, that we all kind of want that, whether we're introvert, extrovert. And we want to create a space where everyone can feel welcome. And not just come on a Sunday and try to talk for 15 minutes and then go, but to actually get together outside of that and maybe go deeper or lighter, whatever we want. So it could be a book club. It could be movie nights. For example, next Saturday we're thinking about doing like a soup night and just hanging out. I know sometimes I like to go to a bar and have a beer, and we could always do that. So... We're excited to see what this year can bring and how many things, you know, we can do that are fun, that can cause us to just relax and connect. So,
and to be clear, as a man, I am not allowed in the women group. Okay. So tell us a little bit about, like, in your experience, is this a group of women that are like 50 women in a room, is it flexible on what that looks like? And maybe just tell us a little bit about kind of what being part of a women's group has like done for you in the past.
Yeah, I think we're envisioning two separate things. Like right now, I'm a part of a Share and Pray. It's called Share and Pray. We also call it Cheese and Wine because we get together every Wednesdays, and for 90 minutes, we set up a timer and we talk about how our week was, and whatever we talk about stays there. It's very personal. You can, you know, be as crazy, as, you know, honest as you want. And the best part is we do pray at the end. And instead of giving each other advice and being like, well, I think that you should do this, we, which is hard for me to do, we just say, well, why don't we ask Jesus to come into this space, you know, and pray about it. And sometimes we'll pray things and we want something specific, and then he provides a different alternative. And it's really cool to see that he's the only, you know, like Jesus is involved. I guess that would be, as a he, the only male involved in the situation. But it's cool to see him so present, like actually intervening and being very obvious. So that's one group that I'm a part of. We could also do more Share and Praise. They're interactive. They can be, you know, more private, like 4 to 5 girls, and those girls always meet, you know. Like I said, the second alternative is doing bigger groups where we do soup night, and then like anyone can show up, or a beer night, and I'll say everyone at a beer, you know, at a bar at 7, this place, and you just show up, you know. So that's kind of what we could do. We could do a book club, that, you know. So whatever you guys are thinking, Emmanuel Prayer. Whatever the need is. So, cool.
Thank you, Barbara. So what I hear you saying is if you're a woman and you would like to connect with other women, they should talk to you, and then we will work with them to figure out what that looks like. Yeah. So maybe it's a group of 3 or 4 folks meeting regularly, or maybe it's soup in a bigger group. But the idea is if you're interested in being a woman meeting with other women, you should talk to Barbie afterwards. So, unless there's an exception.
One last thing is, if we, you know, we could start something, and I can always be there present and help start up that group. So kind of like if anyone else wants to do a share and pray, I, you know, I'm happy to be there and to show like, okay, this is how we do it, and just kind of join and be a part of that and start that up. So.
Awesome. Thank you, Barbie. Let's give Barbie a round of applause. Thank you, Barbie, for helping us do that. And I would like to invite over now Vince, my co-pastor, and I'm going to ask him some questions about some stuff that's happening as well. The first thing is, it's not just women. We do have some stuff that are available for men. Can you tell us a little bit about what that might look like?
So my men's group is one of the, it's every Friday morning, and it's like one of my favorite things in my week. I look forward to it every week. We meet at a coffee shop. It's a bunch of guys who don't have traditional like 9-to-5 jobs, so that works for us because we meet at like 8:30 on a Friday at a coffee shop. We take over a booth. The barista's awesome. He takes care of us every week. He like expects us. He knows us, and we just share like, hey, this was what was true for me last week. This is how I'm feeling emotionally. We're getting better at the thing we've been trying to log the good things that happened and like celebrate those with other people and not just like let them disappear into the ether. So we're getting better at that. But most of the time we're like, yeah, this week was hard because of X, and then we pray for each other, and that's it. It's really great.
Yeah. Okay. So if there's a man here that's interested in connecting with other men, they should talk to you at the end. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We're hoping to help another group like this get off the ground. Or if you are somebody who makes your own schedule and you are free on Friday mornings, you can also jump in on our stuff. So,
awesome, fantastic. So, Vince, you're also involved in other things.
I am.
That's happy. I'm happy to hear that. Yep. Could you tell me one of those? I see on here that there's a group called Productivity. I wonder what that means. Would you tell me?
I'm so glad you asked. This will be a very productive conversation. Boo, yeah. So I really enjoy talking with people about how to be more productive and creative. I would throw into that too, with the time that they have. Like, time is such a limited resource. We had some. We experimented this last fall with some online discussion groups. So we don't meet in person. You get a link, and then you click on the link at the same time that everybody else is, and then we meet online, and it's great. And they were really awesome. And some of the conversations that we had in those groups were around the idea of productivity. And essentially what we talked about is like how to increase the threshold of like when you get stressed out or overwhelmed. Like that threshold is higher up, so you can accomplish more without feeling stressed out and overwhelmed. So that'll be a little bit of what we talk about with this group. And I just really enjoy talking. I'm like kind of a nerd when it comes to like apps on the phone and what you can make the internet and technology do for you so you don't have to do it. So we'll talk about those things because that interests me and it makes my life easier. And I think that could help other people too. Mm-hmm.
I have said in the past that Vince is a bit of a savant when it comes to efficiency and productivity. So anything you experience at this church, and you're like, wow, that was done really efficiently. You can take one guess at who is the person. If you're like, well, that was a little clunky. It was fun, but it was a little clunky. You know that was me. But Vince is amazing at helping us think through what is a way that we could do that is a slightly more efficient, slightly more productive. Not that productivity and efficiency are the end-all and be-all of life. But in the worlds we live in, efficiency and productivity, if we can take steps forward in that area, the goal is actually to help us feel a little less stress in the world. Vince, can you tell us a few other things? I'm curious. If I'm somebody that really likes to connect by serving, like I would like to connect by giving of myself in some way, do we have that here?
I'm so glad you asked. Yes, we do. So the last thing that you guys see up here are one of the major ways that lots of people connect to BLV and start to get to know other human beings. It's not just that you're doing great work that serves other human beings, but you're also doing it alongside other people, are the various volunteer things. So the service opportunities that are regular for BLV are, one is every month that there's a fifth Friday of a month, we help staff a warming center for neighbors in the Brownline area who are homeless. It's regular, happens about four times a year. I think the next one coming up is in March. There's not one this month, right? It's March, I think March. March is the next one, so that's getting on that contact list. You'll regularly hear about when it's our turn to staff that. It's a great way to connect with other people at BLV. You'll come alongside us, and we serve a meal to about 50 guests every week, or every week we do it. There's before-school tutoring every day available in Evanston through an organization that Kyle also works for, and we would love to connect you with that. There are some of us at BLV have volunteered at various times in that way, and so we'd be happy to connect you with that if you, again, have before-school hours. So this is like between, what, 7:30 and 8 to 9, yeah. So if you have 8 to 9 availability during the week, and this sounds like an opportunity for you to do that, you'll experience some great connection with some great people who also work for and volunteer for this organization. And then lastly, we talk about this a lot, but this is a theater. They show movies here, right? And we turn it into a church on Sunday morning, and that requires a ton of people. And so we have like huge amounts of volunteers every week that show up early or stay late here at the Davis. And that is one of the biggest ways that people get to know other people at this church is like a few people show up early and then you start to get to know those people that you're working with. And that's really fun. We really enjoy that. So there's various ways that you can get connected in that way.
Great. Thank you, Vince. So let's give everyone a round of applause one more time. Thank you so much. You can see this up here. And if you feel like you didn't get enough information, all of these folks will be available at a table on the outside. We're actually going to end our service early so that you have the opportunity to not have to stay after because it's the time we already have and go over there and meet with those folks. And what I'd love to do now is I'm going to invite the folks up that are going to do some music here in a second. And I want to pray, and I want to mostly pray for discernment and help in trying to figure out what it would look like to connect here. Kind of historically, and I think particularly true in our society today, a church like this is one of the greatest assets we have in finding community. But again, I think that God is consistently more creative than I am, and what might be the best thing for you to connect with? It might not be the first thing. Maybe the first thing you think of is like kind of the thing that's most similar to like the things your family would have done growing up. And maybe that's great, but maybe there's something else to press into. Maybe having conversations around the Bible that are not threatening, not like this is the one thing you need to get out of this, feels refreshing to you because you'd like to have a conversation around that. Maybe you just need to connect with other human beings. Or maybe you do need to step outside of yourself and connect to something larger. And I'm just going to ask for God's help to walk us through that process as we think about doing that together. So if you guys would stand with me and join me in that, that'd be great. And then we're going to have our folks doing music come forward. Jesus, thank you so much for the folks that were up here. Thanks for the ways that they are giving their time and energy to facilitate community. I pray for that narrative that I think many of us have at different times in our life, which is other people seem better at connecting than I do. Other people seem to just have better community than I do. Somehow loneliness is a unique experience for me, or somehow maybe there's something off about me if I feel that. And I just pray that any lies associated with that would fall away. And now in turn, as we think about what it might look like to connect with other people, if we think about how we may connect in with this church, I pray for help in that process. Help assessing where our life is, honestly, right now. What time, availability, what season of life are we in? What are the things that we can say yes to and actually stick with? And then what is the thing that I actually probably most need this next term? Maybe one of them sounds great, but what I need is something different.